What HR Insider members need to know for July 2026. Hello and welcome to your July 2026 HR Insider member briefing. This month's issue is about clarity, consistency, and control. Not control for the sake of rigidity, but control through better policies, better communication, better documentation, and better manager decision-making. The July newsletter covers return to office and remote work, personnel file access, statutory holiday pay, harassment complaints, employment law updates, recent case alerts, and the need for a practical summer HR policy audit. The first issue is return to office versus remote flexibility. The workplace debate is no longer simply whether people should be remote or in the office. The real question is which work model best supports the role, the team, the business, and the employee experience. Return to office models can support collaboration, culture, mentorship, onboarding, and supervision. But they can also create resentment if employees believe the requirement is unnecessary, especially where they have long commutes, caregiving obligations, or a proven history of working effectively from home. Remote and hybrid work can improve autonomy, satisfaction, retention, recruiting, and focused productivity. But it can also create communication gaps, isolation, weaker team cohesion, performance visibility issues, and home office safety concerns. The key for HR is to avoid a one-size-fits-all approach. Some roles, such as technology, marketing, finance, research, writing, design, and administrative work, may be well-suited to remote or hybrid arrangements. Other sectors, including construction, manufacturing, healthcare, retail, hospitality, education, skilled trades, and hands-on training, often require physical presence. The practical takeaway is this: define your model by role and operational need, not preference alone. Be clear about which jobs must be on site, which can be hybrid, which can be remote, and what expectations apply to each. And be careful when changing long-standing remote arrangements. Abrupt return to office mandates can damage morale and, in some cases, create constructive dismissal risk if remote work has become an accepted term of employment. The second issue is personnel files. This month's Ask the Expert feature looks at whether employees have a right to access performance reviews and other documents in their personnel file. The answer depends on the jurisdiction, the type of employer, privacy legislation, collective agreements, workplace policies, and whether legal proceedings are involved. Federally regulated employees generally have access rights under PIPEDA. Employees in provinces such as British Columbia and Alberta may also have access rights under privacy legislation. Unionized employees may have additional rights under a collective agreement. Ontario's private sector is different. There is no broad statutory right for employees to inspect or obtain their full personnel file outside specific circumstances. But even there, documents may have to be disclosed during wrongful dismissal claims, human rights complaints, grievance arbitrations, or other legal proceedings. The HR lesson is simple. Assume anything in a personnel file may someday be read by an employee, lawyer, union, tribunal, court, or regulator. Performance reviews, disciplinary records, attendance notes, investigation documents, and manager comments should be factual, professional, accurate, and defensible. Avoid casual opinions, unsupported criticism, vague allegations, or language that would be difficult to explain later. The third issue is statutory holiday pay. Statutory holiday pay is one of those areas that looks simple until payroll, scheduling, remote work, and jurisdictional differences collide. Employers often make mistakes when they apply the wrong province's rules, assume part-time or casual employees are not eligible, misunderstand last and first shift rules, fail to document substitute holidays, or incorrectly code employees who work on a holiday. Remote work has made this harder. An employee may work in a different province from the employer's head office, which means HR and payroll must know which employment standards rules apply. The action item for July is to audit your statutory holiday process. Confirm employee work locations, review eligibility rules, verify payroll codes, train managers not to guess, document substitute holidays, and check calculations before errors become complaints or retroactive liability. The fourth issue is harassment complaints. The July issue includes a practical guide to handling harassment complaints with care. This is one of the most sensitive areas of HR because the process affects trust, psychological safety, morale, legal risk, and workplace culture. the first response matters. When someone raises a harassment concern, listen without judgment, acknowledge the concern seriously, avoid conclusions, and explain the next steps clearly. Managers should avoid minimizing language such as, "Are you sure?" or "This sounds like a misunderstanding." Even well-intended comments can make the employee feel dismissed. A good process should include documenting the complaint, assessing immediate risk, protecting confidentiality, conducting a fair and neutral investigation, interviewing relevant parties, keeping both sides informed, evaluating evidence objectively, and closing the loop appropriately. The broader point is that harassment complaints are not just legal files. They are culture moments. How the organization responds tells employees whether respectful workplace commitments are real. The fifth issue is the summer HR policy audit. Summer creates predictable HR problems. Vacation conflicts, statutory holidays, students and seasonal workers, dress code issues, workplace events, remote work location requests, heat, wildfire smoke, and accommodation issues all tend to surface during this period. The strongest HR teams do not treat these as surprises. They prepare for them. A practical summer audit should review vacation scheduling rules, statutory holiday payroll, heat stress procedures, wildfire smoke plans, onboarding for students and seasonal workers, dress code and PPE expectations, remote work location approvals, workplace event and alcohol rules, accommodation triggers, and emergency communication channels. The message is simple. Summer may feel informal, but the workplace is not. Managers still need clear rules, escalation points, and documentation expectations. Now let's look at the July month in review. At the federal level, new Canada Labor Code equal treatment rules take effect October 20th. Federally regulated employers will be prohibited from paying employees different wage rates based on employment status, subject to specific criteria and exceptions. HR should review wage structures for full-time, part-time, casual, temporary, and other employee groups. In Alberta, Bill 21 received royal assent. The Interprovincial Trade Mutual Recognition Act allows goods and services from other provinces to be sold in Alberta if they meet the regulatory standards of their home province. In British Columbia, pension changes take effect October 30th, including variable life benefits for defined contribution plans, auto-enrollment and auto-escalation of member contributions, and new options for surviving spouses. In Manitoba, Bill 10 creates up to 16 weeks of unpaid leave for employees with at least 7 consecutive months of service when a child is placed in their care through adoption or surrogacy. In New Brunswick, new pay transparency legislation requires salary ranges in job postings, bans the use of salary history in hiring, protects wage discussion from reprisal, and requires annual pay transparency reports. In Ontario, Bill 105 would ban employers from charging employees for required uniforms, including laundering, where the uniform is mandatory, employer-specific, and not reasonably usable outside work. In Quebec, proposed budget legislation would temporarily relieve employers in agriculture, forestry, and fisheries from making health services fund contributions. In Yukon, eligible employers in good standing will receive workers' compensation rebates as automated credits to their assessment accounts. The month in review takeaway is that HR teams need to keep watching jurisdiction-specific changes, especially where they affect pay, benefits, leaves, payroll, job postings, pensions, and workers' compensation. Finally, this month's case alerts offer several practical lessons. A federal arbitrator upheld a policy banning safety-sensitive airline employees from consuming drugs at work. The lesson is that fitness for duty policies remain critical in safety-sensitive workplaces. A federal court confirmed that a personal objection to vaccination is not automatically a protected religious belief. Employers still need to handle accommodation requests carefully, but personal belief and religious belief are not the same thing. An Alberta case reminds employers to be careful when discussing retirement. Asking about retirement plans may be acceptable in succession planning, but comments implying an older employee will not be around much longer can support an age discrimination complaint. A major BC case found that requiring a marketing VP to return to the office after more than 3 years of working from home amounted to constructive dismissal. The arrangement was not written into the employment contract, but it had become an implied term through long-standing practice. Another BC case upheld a finding that race factored into the suspension and termination of a CFO. Even if misconduct concerns existed, the fact that race played a role made the decision discriminatory. The case law message is clear. HR decisions must be evidence-based, consistent, carefully documented, and free from assumptions. So, what should HR Insider members do this month? Review remote and hybrid work arrangements before making changes. Clean up personnel file practices. Audit statutory holiday pay processes. Train managers on how to receive and escalate harassment complaints. Conduct a summer HR policy audit. Review jurisdictional updates that apply to your organization. And use this month's cases as a reminder that informal, inconsistent, or poorly documented decisions create risk. That is the core message for July. Strong HR is not about having longer policies. It is about giving managers clear guidance, giving employees fair expectations, giving payroll accurate information, and giving leadership a defensible process. For more details, members can read the full July 2026 HR Insider newsletter and the complete month in review on hrinsider.ca.